Good evening. It's good to see you. And I didn't scare too many people away. It's good to see a goodly number out this evening again. And thank you so much for coming. A word of thanks to Ronnie and all for looking after me today. She's a great cook. Everybody should go up to her house next Sunday for your lunch. You'll not be one bit disappointed. And we had a great afternoon of fellowship and great feasting, and my appreciation goes out to them. Thank you so much for looking after me so well today. Certainly remember to pray for us down in Lima Valley. If you've got a spare space on your prayer list, stick Lima Valley Baptist Church in it, and that'll be a good place for you to start. And we need your prayers, and it's difficult to settle in after being so long in one place. And we're 15 years in Monkstown, and it's just hard just to settle into a new place and get to know new people and the way they do things and all that. And they're doing things all wrong. Not doing the way I want to do them. No, they're doing really, really well, and we've settled in well, but it just takes a wee bit of time. They're good folk, good praying people, and that's always a good place to start, and we're looking for the Lord to bless us. But you pray for us, and that'll be great. Now, we want to look at Mark chapter 15 tonight in the gospel meeting. If you're not saved tonight, and you get offended, and you think, that preacher's preaching at me, well, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm here tonight looking for souls. And so I'm preaching to those that are not saved. If you're not saved tonight, this message is for you. And so if you feel it tonight, and you feel the Lord speaking to you tonight, you understand that this isn't the pastor's message, this is the Lord's word. And the Lord's word to your heart and to your soul. So listen, if you're feeling a wee bit offended tonight, you take notice of that. Because that's God dealing with you. Far worse if you're sitting there tonight and the gospel meant nothing to you. And you're able to sit through the gospel meeting and it didn't bother you one iota. Your soul and your soul's eternal destination. Tonight, if you get a wee bit offended, that'll be all right. That'll be a good sign. And it means that the Lord's speaking to you. But I trust tonight if you're not saved, you would trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Mark 15. And we're reading from verse 6. Again, like this morning, a well-known portion of Scripture. Let's hear the word of the living God. Verse 6, we start Mark chapter 15. Now, at that feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. This is the Lord is being tried here. And we're getting near to Calvary. And he's been brought before Pilate and the judges and the priests and all the rest of it. And he's been sentenced. And it says here, now at that feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. And that emphasis there. And we get down to verse 14. It says, then Pilate said unto them, why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. The emphasis there in the Greek is that they get into nearly a madness. They get into a real frenzy. And the idea here is they just lost their head completely. And they shouted out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Amen. And we know that God again will bless the public reading of his own inspired, precious, holy, infallible words. There are many things that are highlighted by Calvary. When you examine Calvary and all the things that surround Calvary, there are many things that are highlighted. The hypocrisy of the Pharisees. They were to be the religious leaders. They were to be the men who understood the Scriptures, who could lead the people, and then the hypocrisy of them when they rejected the Messiah. The hatred of the crowd. The weakness of Pilate. The plight of the thieves. And of course, surrounding all of Calvary, we have the love of God. But this evening, I want to speak about a man.
A man that pictures every unsaved person in this meeting tonight. It doesn't matter whether you're young or old or in between. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter whether you're educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter whether you're employed or unemployed. It doesn't matter. This man that we're going to look at tonight is a picture of every unsaved man and woman in this meeting tonight. He's a man about whom we know very little, other than he was a bandit. He was a man called Barabbas. And Calvary casts its revealing light on this undesirable man only once. We never read of him again. He gets a passing mention, not by name, but he gets a passing mention in Acts chapter 3, verse 14. But that's the only other time, but it's not by name. But he's never mentioned again by name in the Scriptures. And because of Calvary, his name is forever recorded on the words of God. And I believe that there has to be a reason for this. I believe that there must be a lesson that we are to learn from this man's meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here was a man who was doomed to die, but he found himself free to live. And my sinner friend, is this not a wonderful picture of salvation? You and I condemned to die, yet by the grace of God, made free to live. I can cast my mind back away 37, 38 years now to the 16th of March 1976, Tuesday evening, when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. And listen, I was doomed to die. But in that moment, away back there, those so many years, I was made free to live. Oh, I tell you, I pray tonight that Calvary would cast its light upon your soul. I've only 4 points. I'm breaking away from being a Baptist. Baptists usually only have 3 points. Pastor Tom Orcutt had 10 points. But I have 4 points tonight that I want to leave with you very, very simply and quickly. With the desire that you will know what it is tonight to be set free from the chains of sin that have bound your soul for so many years and are damning you to a lost eternity. What it is to be set free and born again and leaving here a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not here to while away an hour. I'm here to see souls saved. If you're not saved tonight, would you not just trust the Lord where you're sitting and be wonderfully and eternally saved? The first thing I want you to see is this. I want you to see that his sin is uncovered. His sin is uncovered. In verse 7, and there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Because of Calvary, we have before us the unveiling of this man Barabbas' sin. He was a rebel. He fought against the Roman Empire. I guess perhaps he might have been looked upon as some kind of folk hero. Maybe by the Jewish people, I don't know. But we are told also in John 19 and verse 4 that he was a murderer and a robber. And his life of sin has caught up with him. My, he thought perhaps that he was untouchable. My, when he was out there doing his own thing, living his own life, taking whatever he wanted, he maybe thought he was invincible, that he would never be caught. Maybe there were, for years he had lived that charmed life. He had been in tight spots before. My, there were times when the enemy had nearly got him, but he had managed to get himself out of it. There might even have been a price on his head. Here was a man who had played fast and loose with the law and with people's lives. He just took what he wanted. He looked after number one. But now, in the light of what was about to happen on Calvary's rugged hill, his sin is illuminated for the world to see. Oh, dear friend, tonight, is this not you? You see, if you're without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you're a rebel. You're a rebel against the law of God. You've broken every commandment. Oh, says you, Pastor, I'm not a thief and I'm not a murderer. If you go down through those Ten Commandments, the law of God enshrined in the Ten Commandments. And the Lord says, if you've broken one, you've broken them all. If you're a liar, you're as guilty as a murderer. If you've coveted what's not yours, you're as guilty as the adulterer. The Lord says, if you've broken one, you're guilty of them all. My dear friend, you and I were born rebels to the law of God. Does Calvary not uncover your sin tonight? How can you look at Calvary this evening, my dear friend, and not come face to face with your sinfulness? For years, maybe you've been on the run from God, and there's a price on your head, as it were, because Romans 6 and 23 tells us, listen to this, the wages of sin is death. There's a price in your head tonight. The wages of sin is death. And you feel maybe that you could push the boundaries of God's love and God's patience. Somehow you'll escape judgment. Somehow you'll get away from God. Somehow God won't be able to reach you. Somehow God will not see your sin. Somehow your sin won't matter to God. Somehow, some way, if there is a God, you'll make a deal with Him. Sure, you've got away with it so far. Maybe even within your soul there's a boast rise that you could even escape the judgment of God. My, the Scripture tells us we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Each and every one of us. And listen, you may escape the eye of the pastor. You may escape the eye of the preacher. You may escape the eye of the elders. But I tell you, you won't escape the eye of God. God sees you tonight. Sinner, Calvary casts its ray over your soul this evening. And it uncovers your criminal record against the mercy and the grace of a holy God. This meeting tonight. Now you may think this meeting is unimportant. This meeting stands as a witness to your sinfulness. And God's accusing finger, I tell you, dear friend, is pointing at you this evening. Friends, for years you've been on the run, trying to outsmart and outwit the Holy Spirit, but time and time again, He's tracked you down. Maybe it hadn't. Maybe, dear friend, you had no notion of being in the meeting tonight. Maybe when you get up this morning, you had no notion of being in church or being brought to the gospel meeting, but somebody has rung or somebody has knocked the door. Somebody has persuaded you to be here. You never thought you would be here tonight, but here once again. Once again, you're under the sound of the gospel. Maybe you sat last week under the sound of the gospel and it annoyed you and it got up your nose and you said, I'm never going back there again. If that's the way that pastor's going to preach, I'll never be back there again. But yet again this evening, you've been trailed into another gospel meeting. And despite your best efforts to get away from God, God has pursued you tonight, throwing you back under the sound of the gospel. God lifts up His speaking voice and testimony to your criminal record. Sinner, there's nowhere for you to run. Nowhere. Barabbas' life had caught up with him. He had been caught in the very act of rebellion. His sin was uncovered by Calvary. Friends, Calvary condemns you tonight. I want to tell you that. It condemns you. You have to remember on Calvary's cross, there was a thief who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was a thief who rejected Him. There was a thief who found grace. There was another thief who found condemnation. You'll either find grace or condemnation at the cross. Calvary cries out against your sin tonight. Cries out for justice. Because if you will not be saved, then you must die. His sin was uncovered. But secondly, I want you to see his sin imprisoned him. In verse 7 it says, and there was one named Barabbas which lay bound. Barabbas' sin was his downfall. It had brought him to the place where there was no mercy to be found. Where that place where all hope had gone. It was the end of the line. His freedom was gone. His fight had evaporated. His fears were real. Sin had robbed him of the best years of his life. And now sin was going to take life itself. Can you picture the scene? As he's put into that old dungeon and silently he sits bound hand and foot. Maybe thinking to himself, it wasn't worth it. Here's a man whose name means son of the father. That's what Barabbas means. It means son of the father. Some of the Jewish scholars say that he was the son of a rabbi. And if that was the case, he was a good boy gone bad, wasn't he?
If that were true, he would have been brought up in the Word of God. He would have been steeped in the history of God's people. He would have known everything about Abraham and Moses and Samuel and David and Isaac and Jacob. He would have known it all. He would have been steeped in it. He would have known verses off by heart. Maybe that's you tonight, young man, young woman. Are you listening to me? Maybe that's you tonight, steeped in the Word of God from your mother and father's knee. Know the Scriptures. Know all the historical, biblical accounts of God's people. You've heard all the miracles. My, you know Calvary inside out and outside in. But you're not saved. You're not trusting the Lord. Look at Barabbas tonight, dear friend. Young man, look at Barabbas tonight. For here he is, and he's bound in chains of his own making. Realizing that the pleasures of sin, maybe realizing for the first time, they only last for a season. And while they seem sweet at the time, sooner or later the bitter reality of sin's consequences will come home to roost. And I want to tell you, young man, I have seen many like you. And I have seen them throw their life away on drink and drugs and all sorts of things. Coming from good homes, being steeped in the Word of God, sent to Sunday school and sent to church. And the moment they can feel that wee bit of release from under their parents' authority, they're away. Maybe Barabbas was to see him. I wish I could get away from this house where God's Word's read. I wish I could get away from this house where all the conversations about the Lord. I wish I could get out of this house where all these prayers are going up. I wish I could get out of the house and do my own thing and be my own man and get away from this and live a bit. Maybe Barabbas thought the same thing. Young man, young woman, listen to me tonight. If God has blessed you with a mother and father who are saved and who love you so passionately, and so overpoweringly that they're willing to pray for you and to weep for you and to pour the Word of God into you, then listen, I want to tell you, thank God for them. Thank God for them. Because you see out there, nobody cares. Nobody cares. What's out there will destroy you. What is out there will ruin you. And the old devil can be crying into your heart, go as quick as you can, get out there. The clubs are there, the pubs are there, the gambling houses is there, immorality's there, you'll really learn to live. I want to tell you, it'll break you. Listen to your parents tonight. Listen to the ones who truly love you, who truly care for you, who truly want the best for you. Listen to the sob of their heart as you turn away from Christ. And come this evening and trust him as your Savior and the Lord. You see, the chains bound him, and there were chains of his own making. Oh, I tell you, you can have pleasure in the world. Of course you can. If there's no pleasure in the world, nobody would be doing it. And I tell you, you can have your good time and your sin. Yes, you can. And the world, it appears, has a lot to offer the craving of your soul. But I want to tell you this. The world has absolutely nothing to satisfy your soul. It has got a lot to tempt you with, but it's got nothing to satisfy your soul. Friends, sin never gives. It always takes. It always takes. And it'll take away your dignity. It'll take away your joy. It'll take away your potential. It'll take away your freedom. And at the end of the day, it'll take away your soul. Friends, sin is not a liberator. Sin is an imprisoner. What does James say in James 1:15? When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished with you, bringeth forth death. I want to tell you, I am saved 37, 38 years, and I'm as free can be. I have discovered such a wealth of freedom in Christ. I've been places I thought I never could be. Been all over the globe in different places preaching and seeing people and talking to people I thought never would be there. I want to tell you, if you want a life that's worth a living, young man, young woman, you trust Christ as your Savior tonight. Don't let the devil fool you, folks, into thinking that there's not a price to pay for sin. Here we have Barabbas. He's surrounded by the cost of his law-breaking life. There he lies with the rest of the rebels, and yet he's alone. He's surrounded by the ones he had enjoyed his sin with. My, they had some great times together. They had some great parties together. But the party's over. And there's no more singing, and there's no more laughing, and there's no more plans to be made, and there's no more lives to be ruined. I want to tell you, dear friends, that's a picture of a lost Christless hell. I don't know how many people I have talked to about their soul, and they'll laugh me to scorn, and they'll say, I want to go to hell, for all my mates will be there. When I get to hell, we're going to have a great party. I want to tell you, there's no parties in hell. And I tell you something else, there's no exit signs in hell. There's no way out. There's a rich man described in the Bible, Luke 16, and it says he died and went to hell. You know what he cried? He says, send someone to my five brethren. He says, of five brothers, send somebody to them and warn them as they come to this place. I want to tell you, if you have friends in a lost Christless eternity, will not be wanting you there. Not be wanting you there. Here's a man and his life now lay in ruins around about him. None of his friends could do anything to help him. He's alone and he's in his misery, alone with the thoughts of the wasted years. I tell you, friends, there is a loneliness and sin that the soul is not equipped to handle. And all he had thought had given his life meaning and purpose and joy, those were the very things that had bound him in the prison house. Someone has rightly said, sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. It's very true. Here's a man and his sin was uncovered. His sin imprisoned him. Thirdly, his sin condemned him. His sin was going to cost him his life. He was going to be crucified. You see that middle cross? Three crosses in Calvary's hill. That middle cross was for him. That middle cross was for him. He was going to be crucified. And the full weight of the law was going to fall upon him. No appeal would be listened to. No pleas for leniency would be considered. Due process would work out to its resulting end. And execution would be inevitable. And Barabbas would die. And he knew that there was no hope. He knew he was on death row. He knew he was a dead man. There was no point in trying to claim innocence. This was not a miscarriage of justice. The evidence was irrefutable. And all he could do was just lie there in the misery of his sin's condemnation, in silent compliance to the righteousness of the verdict. Every avenue of the law had been exhausted, and he was guilty. Friends, because of your sinful nature, you are guilty and you are hell deserving. And there is no claim to innocence that you can bring. Scripture says there is none righteous, no, not one. Oh, but I go to church, it doesn't mean a thing, friend. Oh, but my name, I was baptized as a child, it doesn't mean a thing, friend. Oh, but my father was a great man of God. I tell you, it doesn't mean a thing, friend. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, listen, you're condemned. Scripture says you're condemned already. Judgment was passed, and there was no ground to stand upon. Oh, while Barabbas was free, he never felt the condemnation of the law. He never thought of the guilty state that the law held him in. He never considered the day when he would be held accountable. But now he does. Now the reality of his days on earth, that they're being numbered, is invading his mind. Fears that he thought he would never feel now overtake him. and he withdraws from the rest of the band of cutthroats. Now the hand of the law has gripped his life and is going to part him from it. Sinner, you may not even tonight feel the weight of the condemnation of God. You might have been through this week and you've never given a thought to your soul. You've just continued on with your sin and the things that you want to do, and you haven't felt the condemnation of God. You haven't felt the weight of the guilt of sin upon you. You haven't realized that God will hold you accountable one day for your sin. So why should you worry? Why should you worry? My dear friend, one of these days, might well be tonight, who knows? But one of these days, the harvest will be past and the summer will be ended and you'll be not saved. Someday you will stand with the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars, as one by one you are cast from the presence of the Lord into the lake of fire that burneth forever and forever and forever. Condemned by your own sin, sinking never to be heard of again beneath the fiery waves of a Christless eternity. I tell you, we were talking this morning about the disciples in the storm and the boat, and the Lord coming, and they get into the boat, and immediately they were at the other side. There is a storm, dear friend, that God will not still. There is a prison house from which there will be no escape, and there is a sorrow that will know no ending, and it's called hell. God will never still the storm of hell. Never. Sinner, tonight, can you not see the plight that your soul's in? Is there no pang of guilt within your soul for your sin? Is there no realization that you're going to a lost eternity? Is there no understanding that this is you we're talking about? Is there no remorse for the life that you've lived? Even though you find tonight, like Barabbas, your sin is uncovered, your sin has imprisoned you, your sin has condemned you, what will you do? Well, I want you to see finally tonight that, like Barabbas, your sin can be covered. Verses 8 through to 15. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucified him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why, what evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." So Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Now I don't know. I don't know if Barabbas ever gets saved. We're not told. We're not told. I'm not going to say he gets saved or he didn't get saved. I don't know. But there's one thing I do know. And here's what I know. Jesus took his place. That's what I do know. Behind the scenes that were so dark and so hideous and so hopeless and so painful, God was at work. Barabbas could hear the crowd baying for blood. Maybe he thought, as he could hear the noise in the distance as he was in his prison cell, maybe he thought they were baying for his blood. I don't know. But unknown to Barabbas, something of eternal significance was taking place. The guards, my, he could hear the thud of their boots coming down the hallway. And they come to the cell and they open the door and they push their way through the condemned mass of humanity that filled the jailhouse until they come to one called Barabbas, the ringleader, the worst of them all. And they pull him to his feet and the chains of his bondage are singing out their mournful tune of death as they trail him through the people and out the door. And as he's pulled from the prison house, my, his life flashes before him. And surely sentence was now going to be carried out. Surely he was on the way to the cross. He was going to Golgotha, the skull. But what's this? Something strange is happening. Surely this is not the way to the death mount of Calvary. There's Pilate, his enemy. He's standing on the balcony of the judgment hall, and there's another beside him wherein sin never dwelt. And side by side they stand before the crowd. Barabbas, the sweat of terror and tremors running up and down his spine. But this other man, there is a peace, there is an authority with him. Although he is held as a prisoner, yet in some strange, miraculous way, he seems to be the one in charge. Barabbas perhaps thinks to himself, where have I seen this man before? I know he's been marred and scarred, but his face still looks familiar to me. Is he not the one who healed the sick? Did he not raise the very dead? They said that he fed the 5,000 with just a few loaves and fishes. A few days ago, were they not going to make him the king? And then the unforgettable happens. The people are given a choice. One prisoner is to be released of these two. Barabbas maybe thinks to himself, what sort of joke is this? What sort of sick amusement have they entered into now? Are these Romans just wanting to rub salt in my wounds? Are they just wanting to prolong the torment that I'm going through? They'll not choose me. But as I look over the crowd, I can see the people that I've hurt and maimed and robbed down through the years. They'll not want me. I deserve to die, but this man, he's done nothing amiss. What did the crowd cry? Give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. And in that moment, in that blessed and joyous moment, Barabbas was free. And his chains fell off. And Jesus looked at him with those knowing eyes of love. Oh, Barabbas, if he could speak to you, my sinner friend, this evening, I think he would use the words of that hymn. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. My dear sinner friend, along with me, and along with everybody else in this building, along with everybody else in this world, you and I have no right to live. If you and I were getting what we deserve, we would be thrust into a Christless eternity just now. But Jesus, God's Son, took your place. And he took my place. The scripture says he took our sins in his body on the tree. And sinner, that sin that has been uncovered tonight, that sin that imprisons you tonight, that sin that condemns you tonight, can be covered by the precious blood of Christ. And you can be free. You can be set free. You can walk away from this meeting tonight with a clean slate. The Word of God promises that all things pass away and all things become new. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me how. I cannot fully speak of the love of God for your soul. Maybe the same thing was asked of Barabbas. When he gets out and amongst the people, maybe some of his friends would say, well, what happened? How did you get free? All that he could say was, I was dead, but now I'm alive. I've been given a new life. I'm free. Because Jesus died in my place. Sinner, you need the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Maybe you're sitting in the meeting and you're thinking to yourself, I need another drink. I could do a cigarette right now. Maybe you're sitting in the meeting tonight and you're planning your week ahead and the things that you're going to do. I tell you tonight that you need Jesus Christ tonight. You need the new life that only the Son of God can bring. You see, no other prisoner would have done. No other power could achieve it. It had to be Jesus. You're in a prison house of your own making, but my Savior can break through the bars. He can tear the chains asunder and He can set you free. Maybe you're sitting here this evening and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, I would love to be saved. Oh, you don't know how much I would love to be saved, but I can't give up my sin. I can't give up the drink. I've tried. Oh, countless times I've tried. I can't give it up. Pastor, I've had more of those old nicotine patches up and down my arms and I'm not chewing gum. I've tried everything, but oh, I can't beat these old cravings for the figs. Pastor, you have no idea. Every penny goes to the bookie. And I know I'm stupid. And I know I'm foolish. And I know I can never win, but I can't stop it. And I can't give it up. Pastor, I can't give up that man. And I know it's wrong. And I know it's adulterous. But I can't give him up. I love him so much. I can't give up that woman. I love her so much. I know it's ruining her family. But I can't give her up. I love her so much. And I can't give up my sin. Can I say this to you this evening? Nobody's asking you to. You may think that's strange. Nobody's asking you to. You come to the Lord tonight. Trust Him as your Savior. Yield your life to Him. He'll deal with it. He'll deal with the alcohol. He'll deal with the cigarettes. He'll deal with the gambling. He'll deal with the relationships. You give it to Him. Let Him deal with it. You just come and give Him your soul. Trust Him as your Savior and Lord tonight. In the prison house, you can be free. Doesn't matter what the charge is against you. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how deep into sin you've fallen. If you cry on the Lord tonight, He will save you. He'll save you where you are. He'll save you in the pew. Everything can be gone. And you can have that new life. I wonder tonight, I wonder what you'll do with Jesus. I wonder what you'll do with the Lord tonight. Because He's here. And He's speaking to your heart. He may never speak again. But what will you do with Him? May God help you tonight to choose the Lord as your Savior, your Redeemer, your friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you're concerned about your soul tonight, and maybe you've never ever said to anybody about it, and maybe there are questions that you would like answered, and things that are bothering you about the gospel, you just can't get your head around, and maybe you'd like to talk to anybody. Well, you know, if you want to speak to me, just say at the door, Pastor, I want a word with you. If you're concerned about their soul tonight and you want to get saved, just say, Pastor, I want to get saved tonight. Maybe as you've been sitting in the pew, you've just trusted the Lord. Just in your own simple way, you've just said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Will you save me tonight? And you know you're saved. Just say at the door, Pastor, I've trusted the Lord tonight. I'm saved because I want to pray with you. I want to encourage you. I want to assure you that I'll be praying for you. I'll give you my phone number and you can ring me and keep in touch with me. But if you're concerned and if there's anything I can do to help you, just say at the door. I'm your servant for Christ's sake. We're going to sing our closing hymn. It's 331 from Songs of Victory. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. 331, we'll stand together as we sing. Heavenly Father, many can give you thanks this evening for bringing them home from all sorts of places, in all sorts of circumstances. Father, we can thank you for bringing us home. But Father, there are still many out in the mountains wild and bare. And Father, there's some in the meeting tonight and they're not saved. And just as they stand at the close of the meeting, there's a decision that has to be made. Will I have Christ? Or will I once again reject Him? Will I accept His offer of mercy tonight, or will I hope for another day, another meeting, another moment such as this? Can Christ satisfy that longing of my soul? Can He truly meet my need? Will He really wash my sin away? Oh, though your sins be as scarlet, dear friend, tonight they shall be as white as wool. Father, we pray tonight that they would understand that there's life for a look at the crucified one. Life at this moment for them. Give deciding grace, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.